Okay, we will go right into Board of Supervisors meeting at 9:09 on the clock for Wednesday, September 27th, 2017. We will call the meeting to order, and we will start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
That's good to know.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just doesn't make me feel warm and fuzzy doing that.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Hill, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann, and Bauman will be gone all day. The consent agenda: one is a general agenda, two is approved minutes of the meeting held September 13, 2017, three, approve all claims through September 27, 2017 in the amount of $1,236,775.94. Accept claim number 1709036 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $164.57 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Number five is crossed out, correct? We have that as a regular agenda item. Approve canceling check number 1709009 to Douglas County Sheriff in the amount of $41.40 and number 1709035 to Saunders County Sheriff in the amount of $20.69. Number seven, utility permit number 1078. Windstream, Nebraska, Inc. will be setting new pedestal on edge of right-of-way and trenching in 30 feet of new cable 5 foot deep from new pedestal and splicing into existing cable and shoulder of road to provide service to new home at 4935 West Hoyt Road, located in the northwest fourth of Section 31, Township 4 North, Range 6 East of Midland Township. Number 8, utility permit number 1079, Norris Public Power District, will be boring a 7.2 kV electric line under the township road for 66 feet, 5 feet below bottom of the road ditches. The electric line will be in a 2-inch core flex encasement pipe located 2,652 feet east of South 82nd Road on East Aspen Road on the south side of Section 14 and the north side of Section 23, Township 6 North, Range 7 East, Nemaha Township. Utility permit number 9, utility permit number 1080, Windstream, Nebraska, Inc. will be plowing in 4,192 feet of new fiber 4 foot deep in backslope of West Ditch and boring 5 feet below flow line of culvert and bridge and 5 feet below ditches on Southwest 89 Road to provide 50 MB service to Koch Fertilizer, located in the northwest, southwest, 4th, Section 14, and northeast, southeast, 4th, Section 15, Township 4 North, Range 5 East of Blakely. Number 10, approve specifications and call for bids on 2017-2018 snow removal for the courthouse, sheriff, jail, veterans office, and parking lot. Bids to be opened October 11, 2017 at 9:45 a.m., approved specification and call for bids on security camera system. Bids to be opened October 25th, 2017 at 9:15 a.m. Any?
Approve the consent agenda as presented.
Have a motion?
Second.
Motion by Tiemann and seconded by Byers. Any other comments on consent agenda? If not, vote 6-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 1709036 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $164.57 for a total claims of $1,236,940.51.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann, seconded by Hill. Vote. 5 in favor with Juergens abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. I see most everybody that's here is on the agenda later. So, no comments from the public. We will move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, Winter Lights.
I would call on Dave Jones, the building manager.
Thank you.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning. I just had a few things. One item will be on the agenda towards the end, and that is the contract with Bakeler Architects to create a new sheriff's entrance over at the Sallyport area, West Sallyport area. Last week I had to order a new toilet lab combination for a jail cell over at the detention center. The Reitzman Plumbing has been working on it, and they say it's just unrepairable anymore. So I know with as short as they are on jail cells over there, we moved forward with that as fast as we could. On October 5th, NACO and Bergen Architects are putting on a maintenance workshop, and it will be held at the Southeast Community College, and it will finish up at the courthouse. And it's just mainly a lot of people coming, speaking on behalf of courthouses on fire safety and maintenance problems and fixes. So I'm excited to check that out. And the only problem we have at the courthouse right now that I know of is our door lock system. Every once in a while we have a glitch in it somewhere, so the doors are locking. It's easy to open them back up, but we have not found the problem to that yet, so we're still working on that.
So. Dave, I wasn't fully paying attention, I guess. What did you say was going on out at the college?
It is a it's a workshop, maintenance workshop. Jerry Bergren and NACO have combined to do a just a maintenance workshop on courthouses.
And they're, and what are they coming to our facility for?
A tour towards the end of the day.
So the Bergren's using our facility to support themselves or to promote their business?
Yes, I would say. Yeah. If this was
that together.
Brought up, it's been a while back ago that I think he contacted Matt Bauman at that time, and we had a discussion a while back ago about it.
It's almost like it's a janitorial workshop.
It is. We have right. It'd be the fire marshals coming, other people that are speaking on maintenance type programs. So,
and it's in conjunction with NACO also. So yeah. NACO is part of this, Gary.
It's part of it.
Yeah,
you're probably not going to go up under a roof. So,
you want to issue a statement? Will they read at that hearing?
Thank you, Dave. We'll be around later for that.
I will be towards the end of the meeting.
Good deal. Thank you. Equalization.
I think we
did enough there. Finance or insurance?
Myron, I guess basically bills. I'll go through them like I normally do. These are the large ones. City Beatrice, quarterly payment, $45,000. Gage County Highway Department, fund transfer, $500,000. Gage County Maps Coalition, juvenile justice grant, $18,946. Husker Auto Group, LLC, sheriff vehicle, $31,500. Send 1718 membership dues $11,692. Beatrice Concrete, sand and gravel, rock, township and county gravel, $47,573. Contact Engineered Solutions, $29,387. Nebraska Department of Transportation, gravel, deicer, $16,115. This is the materials that was left west of town, and Galen made a deal with the state to purchase that material and bring in for the county's uses for this winter. Rock On Incorporated, Township Hauling, $18,225. Sapp Brothers Incorporated Fuel, $21,390. And Volkscapes Incorporated, pay application number 2 for project C34-1024, $77,395. This is the completion of the box culvert north of Ellis. Final payment on that.
Final payment.
And I do believe, Myron, this is one that I can't remember, but it came in under the bid price.
I think, yeah, it came in about $8,000 under. The bid was like $265 or $267. I think 267 maybe, and this the total amount paid out then is $259,000. I looked at it through my paperwork here this morning, but I'd have to find it again and stuff.
I think I've got that. I think the total amount on that was $259,263.
Yes. So when that project is done and open, that box culvert, Ellis Road. Anything else for finance or insurance? If not, human resources, employee relations.
Nothing.
One quick thing. I know we gave, I did go out and visit with Jane Esau again. We gave her, Dawn asked me about it too. We gave her a letter requesting some financial information there, and I did visit with her again on that, and that is being worked on. So just say that. So I visited with her Monday.
Was there a time frame on that?
Well, there was, and that's way past, yeah. That's why Dawn visited with me about the time frame, so we went and talked to her. So, law enforcement, emergency management.
Emergency management. Lisa Wiegand, the new emergency manager. Her last day was yesterday down at the chamber. She wasn't able to be here this morning. She had, I think she was on a conference call or something with the regional emergency managers group. But she did convey to me that she's already been in connection with Claytonia and Cortland rural fires, and I don't know that she's been to a meeting, but she has talked with them already, and so she has already started to reach out to some of the emergency personnel throughout the county. I know she's also talked to Brian Dakey here in the city, a couple other people, and I believe next week she'll be gone all week to the training conference. So she's kind of hit the ground with her feet running. So as far as law enforcement goes, the first thing that Gus talked about on Monday was reimbursement on a sex offender registration. They did a checkup and did a sweep on it to check on everybody. And so we had reimbursement for that, and I guess I just bring that up again just for the sake of the public, that just so everybody knows and realizes that Gus and the guys at the Sheriff's Department as well as I think the Police Department is paying attention to them registries, and they are watching these folks, and hopefully we're keeping our community safe. So other than that, unless Gus has something new that's happened in the last couple of days, I think that pretty well is.
We have a couple things, I think, later. I know we have one thing, but I think we have a couple things later on the agenda.
Yeah, there's.
Right. Okay, Roden Bridge. Gary?
Yes, Myron. We've already talked about the culvert. Galen's visit with Weimer about our old crack sealer. Has some issues where their 2012 CAT has 6,566 hours purchased it. There's some engine problems with it.
That's a CAT grader, yeah.
Yeah. We talked about this, the amount of gravel that was purchased from the state, 16,115. And as of Monday, Rock-On was hauling on township number 11 for fall allocations. So unless I miss my guess, this will be the first time in modern history that we will have our fall allocations done in the fall. That's it.
Does Terry get a medal for that?
I don't know. Yeah,
maybe Galen.
Galen does.
Okay. We've changed some things in the bidding, the bids that we bid proposals that we put out. We changed some things so that maybe that helps speeds that up too a little bit, and hopefully, yeah, they're farther ahead than they've been for quite a while. So, but I thought there was something else. Oh. The Weimar Liberty Road there. We had notes on that about the amount of.
I didn't want to talk about it, but.
You didn't want to talk about that?
No. Some issues with the Weimar Liberty Road again. They've milled out and laid 121 tons of asphalt working on it, and I don't think it's complete yet, but with the rain, there was probably some issues we had to stop. Galen had taken some pictures of the road, and there's 11 or 12 areas that the crew patched. There were cracks, and the general consensus was the two layers did not adhere together when it was laid, I repeat, when it was laid, they did not adhere together. It's causing what they call slippage, where the top layer is separating from the second layer. So, I don't know if I want to say,
it is. I mean, and they're patching those and repairing those instead of letting more damage occur and get in worse shape down there. And I think that's a road that they're going to have to continually watch just because of some possibilities of some issues there going forward. So
of poor performance by the company that laid it. Let's just put it that way.
Anything else for Roden Bridge?
Are those roads holding up?
Damn good.
Damn good.
Except for that one.
Darn good.
Next up on the agenda, Sandy Morrissey, Director of the Regional Prevention Coordination, here to share some information.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'm sorry. You made it easy for us, and I still messed it up.
Good morning. I know you have a busy schedule. I appreciate your time. For those of you that may not know me, I'm with Region 5 Systems, and not to be confused with Region 5 Services. We are a behavioral health entity, one of six within Nebraska. We oversee federal block grant funds for substance abuse and mental health. Region 5 Services does more with developmental disabilities, so they're kind of our sister agency. So what you have in front of you, the front page, every year coalition, so you Gage County Maps, which does substance abuse prevention within your county, they apply every year for federal block grant funds. And they base that cost and request on local data. We do a survey every other year with youth, gather their perceptions. We compare that to the Youth Risk Survey, which is a CDC, Center for Disease Control, as well as the Tobacco Survey, and that's how communities within our 16-county area prioritize their data. So I don't want to confuse you, but you're second down on the chart, and it shows that Christina Lyons and the coalition at large applied for 6,955. If you turn to the second page that you have in your packet, you actually are receiving a significant amount more. So you can see the above chart, the amount they applied for, $1,200 for the leadership. There's a lot involved with that. It's really doing a lot in terms of mobilizing community, getting those stakeholders to the table, leading those meetings, follow-up meetings. They are required to come to a regional meeting every other month. They set up activities. They oversee the coordination of many of those activities. Teammates has been really successful here in Beatrice, as well as, I'm hoping, some of the rural areas. And that is an mentoring is looked at as an evidence-based program. We're seeing lots of success with kids being able to better achievement with having a mentee or a mentor. And then prescription drug take-back. With the opioid crisis nationally, Nebraska has received some funds. We've done really well in prevention. All of our counties within southeast Nebraska have had a prescription drug take-back day. However, we will probably be doing more. I'm working with five counties down in southeast Nebraska to have med boxes placed either in their hospital, possibly law enforcement if the hospital doesn't want it. So Beatrice is sitting good in terms of their engagement with that, but we need to help rural counties within Gage County to understand that. Youth activities, obviously huge, with substance abuse issues, suicide issues. We are in Nebraska, 43rd in the nation with the lowest suicide rates. We're in the top 10 with youth suicide rates. So we're in the middle of a Garrett Lee Smith grant. That's not even listed on here. Dollars are going out through our communities in terms of really addressing the suicide issues. Within your area, you have Dr. Don Belau. He's a clinician working within your schools. He does a lot with postvention. Beatrice is kind of a, and Gage has been kind of one of our hotspots, Lancaster as well. And so we're watching closely and want to assist. I think we're doing a pretty good job with it. We had the Garrett Lee Smith grant back in 2008 and saw a decline in suicide rates. After that grant was over, it began to increase again. We had to wait a period of time. Those federal dollars are back, and we're incorporating strategies all over again. So we're seeing a decline already from 2015 to current. And then the alcohol inspections. Our data is showing the kids are saying...
How about the media?
Oh, media campaign is always, what does the community attending the coalition meetings, what do they want to prioritize in the media, whether it's movie trailers, whether it's a billboard, whether it's information that goes out to physicians, what media do they want to put out in terms of identifying priorities? So I'm hoping at the coalition meetings they're talking about that currently. Christina's in Kearney today. Otherwise, she would have joined me. But and then you'll see that down at the bottom, we are doing to preserve these federal block grant dollars. As you know, things are changing quickly in our country, and we have to begin to show we're really collecting some data, and we're organized as an entity. So at our regional coalition meeting, which has a representative from each county, we came up with strategies that we will, every county will be doing these. So you'll see those below. So there's more money still coming into Gage County. Those strategies include CMCA stands for Communities Mobilizing for Change. It is an evidence-based program. It's actually doing interviews with community at large. We got to figure out what community perception is, because their perception is their reality. Once we know what people think, if they say, yeah, alcohol's still our priority, or forget about alcohol, that's not a problem, it's the marijuana, or methamphetamine is our issue. What we really need then is to show them hard data, which we gather from hospitals, law enforcement, any health entity. Public health solution is involved at this point. The dollars, the increase that what happens in counties because of intervention is so costly. These prevention strategies are really significant, and the federal government is saying, quit buying giveaways. Quit having people come to gatherings and listen to a speaker if it's not making any difference. That's why we're digging deeper with strategies that actually can begin to influence social change. So after the interviews, then they again will prioritize. What's our data saying? What do people think? And so how does our media campaign have to show community? Wait a minute, you think this, but the reality is. And how do we then begin with, after that awareness, raising awareness, what has to be implemented? And it's usually policy that makes change. And when people hear policy, they freak out and think we're talking legislators. It can be talking to families about what are your rules? Are you talking to your kids about underage drinking? What would be the consequences in your home if they're caught with marijuana, alcohol? As an adult, if you're procuring, do you know the laws? And is the community really following through with enforcing those? So it could be family, could be law enforcement, it could be the schools. But I will tell you, schools feel like a lot falls on their plate. They're not just educating anymore. A lot's tied into that. As we talk to them, we say if we can get families to look at their policy, school enforce their policies across the board, regardless of star athletes, regardless of can't do that to the band because we won't have anybody in it if we pull it, if there's been a big party and the kids got busted. The sooner you incorporate policy and follow through with it, the quicker social change happens. The alcohol inspections, we've had great involvement with law enforcement or sheriff's office and state patrol. So they will go in, have a youth go in, try to buy. They use their own ID. They don't try to trick the cashier. It's interesting what the kids are telling us. The larger stores that actually have the scanner, the kids aren't sold to. The stores that don't have the scanner, so the convenient, maybe the Casey's, that kind of thing, people look at it and go, okay. And then if the kid comes out with a six-pack, law enforcement goes in and talks to them, and then they're ticketed. And, again, that's enforcement. That helps them to understand we got to pay attention. So some of the cashiers now on their stand, they're just putting, if you know, if it's the long, the more longer license, that's the kids. You don't even have to look at the date. You know, adults have more horizontal in their card. but we're still seeing it happen. And so until we can see that go down, that will be a strategy throughout our regions. Before I talk about second step, the last one, talk about alcohol. Lancaster received a separate grant, one of 11 counties in the state, for 4 years. We've put about $400,000 into a website. My goal, and I think it's going to happen, was it's so much money. We want this to become a site that anybody from all of our counties can utilize. We aren't getting parents to trainings. They aren't coming to the educational pieces, yet they do a lot of talking in regards to being concerned. We have professional videos on there that parents can watch in their own time. We have a parent assessment where they can look at their parenting style. How's that working for you? We're developing a youth piece in terms of them looking at their behaviors. Does it put them at high risk? Does it take them away from the goals that they see long-term down the road? Our youth board, our regional youth action board, is willing to oversee every individual county page. So you have two members from Gage County on our regional board. They're willing to oversee the Gage County page. So the larger portion of the website is going to be available to all counties. We're hoping once it takes hold in southeast Nebraska, statewide people utilize it, our federal dollars, it'll be minimal cost per coalition to use the website then. So I think it's a good investment and will be shared by all. It won't be ownership of just one county. And then second step, last guys and gals, we are hearing from superintendents, school principals, they're seeing anxiety, depression at earlier and earlier ages. First, second grade, we're being told. That means it's more of an environmental issue. That just isn't a school issue. What's going on at home? What's happening in their environment? What are those kids seeing through technology that at that young age their little minds can't handle? So LPS, Lincoln Public Schools, started it. They found second step. The state of Texas has mandated it legislatively in all schools. There's an elementary piece with it as well as a junior high. It is a social-emotional learning curriculum. So throughout the day, it's not like in health class you're going to get a series of 8 weeks. Every day, teacher has a kid on their desk. So we've saturated LPS. We've continually piecemealed funding. Every teacher has it, K through sixth grade. And they're in a particular class, and she thinks, this would fit where socially I want them to think, even with a science class or whatever. They can pull a card. It helps kids to self-regulate. It helps them to figure out how to problem solve, coping skills, how to engage, so helping them even with confidence, that kind of thing. There's been such success, and they've seen such a good increase in grades that they've really bought into it. We've already had some rural schools doing it. It's in Gage County. We hope to see that expand and grow. So know that some of those evidence-based programs that really do fit within the school system but really can make a social impact are there. The only other thing you have is it shows our list of youth board members, and you have two from Gage County. You have Clara Hoekstra from she's in Wymore, as well as Shelby Decker. And I'll tell you, they are kind of a force to be reckoned with. They're thrilled that things are coming in. They've attended some of our events within Beatrice. They want to make sure rural towns within Gage County are also engaged and involved. So they've done a good job. We look forward to seeing what they'll get accomplished this year. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
I've got a question a little bit on the funding there.
Yes.
Now, is that the amount that comes down to each county, is that more on what they apply or more on, you talked about more maybe what's happening in that county, the surveys show?
That's based on surveys and priorities and what they applied for, because they knew we'd be doing the multi-county strategies.
That also.
So all, yes. So all the, great question, all the federal block grant dollars are still going into all the counties. We just organized them a little differently. We still wanted each county to have an opportunity. What do they need to put money towards? And what can we do regionally? And then we always set aside $24,000 for mini grants. So halfway through the year, if Gage County says, gosh, if we had 2 grand more, with a media campaign or something, they can apply for that.
Eric,
questions?
We have had a lot of youth suicide here in our area. I don't know how in tune you are with the school here. I mean, how often are you in touch with the local school here?
Yes, we have Dr. Don Belau now, working clinician, actually in Beatrice Public Schools.
He's there all the time for any issues.
Yep.
I'll say I have three step kids and one other, and they range from being born in 97 to 07. Mm-hmm. And in that entire time, I mean, I'm familiar with you all from being on the board, but I've never heard of any of these programs. And I'm intimately involved with, you know, as the kids were going through school and the ones that aren't in school yet. So I'm just saying, as a parent, I've never heard of any of these programs at all.
And you know what's interesting is you are far from alone with saying that. And it's really, that's why our coalitions are developed. One of the problems with leadership is so few people want to engage in that leadership role. They want to hear, they want to be part of that table, but in terms of moving forward, and we're working with Christina, we have got to see different names on that agenda, and how are we getting this out to community at large? You're right on. Totally agree with you.
Because, I mean, this is a resource where, I mean, I don't know, kids face so many different things now than they ever did before, and that suicide rate here represents that, which is really scary. So as long as the school knows if there is an issue, if they see something, I mean, they see things that none of us do, if they know where to go, I guess. But that's, I guess, what I was wondering about.
The other piece, I really appreciate your comment. The other piece, so we have second step in elementary and middle school. We have pulled in Dr. Hudnall from Utah. They were second in the nation with highest suicide rates. And he was a principal, and it was his district with highest rates. And he knew peer-to-peer kids were talking to each other and saying, I'm finished. I don't want to go on. That kind of thing. Too much happening. A lot of sexual assault, sexual abuse, drinking. And it isn't just breakdown in family. The kids, our data is showing the kids still think family's intact, but breakdown in communication. Breakdown in knowing what to do when there is a problem. People so busy multitasking, not taking time for family, right? So he's developed Hope Squads, and so we'll be training youth peer-to-peer, and it's working. We've done it in Johnson County. I've already had two kids that have called me and said, okay, this is the text I got. What should I do? So it's not putting the burden on the kids through Hope Squads. If their peer talks to them, who's the adult team within the school that they can go to? Where's that partnership with law enforcement and or whoever needs to be engaged? And so we've brought him in, and we've got schools on board, and we'll continue to grow that. So those support systems are in place. And, yes, each county, we need to do a better job in terms of people at large paying attention to it. Sometimes it's kind of like people don't really address cancer issues until it hits home. And that's the unfortunate thing. People can look at this information. We can saturate our communities, and you'd be surprised how much has been put out there and people not.
You're seeing some things happening that are very positive in our mentoring program. As these kids are meeting and they have mentors and the information goes back to their counselors in the school system to be able to take action relative to these issues. So there are activities being done, and what Region 5 Systems is doing relative to this working with schools is huge. But you're right, Eric, this is something we need to continue moving forward and educating, because this is a problem all over this country.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, we're not alone.
No. Yeah, we have such a great system and such good people within the communities that care. But it is a process, and people do have to get on board to make a difference. It can't just be a small group of leads saying I'm willing to, because they just aren't going to get that done. So,
entertain a motion to put Sandy's Regional Prevention Coordination Report on file.
So moved.
Second.
Thanks for your time.
Yeah, motion by Byers, second by Thiemann. Vote 6-0 in favor. Next up, Mark Engler, Homestead National Monument, and it says here a recap of our August 21st solar eclipse. So.
Good morning. I'm Mark Engler, superintendent at Homestead National Monument, and I'm here this morning basically to say thank you. Thank you for your votes along the way with everything from helping to support the purchase of advertising to putting in place ordinances to control parking and all around the monument the days leading up to the monument. But I have a letter I'd like to read to the group Myron, and it states, Dear Supervisors, just a little over 30 days ago, our community was abuzz with excitement in anticipation of the total solar eclipse. Families throughout our area were expecting guests. Some county residents were renting out their homes. Communities were planning celebrations, and many retail businesses were stocking up. At Homestead National Monument of America, plans involving many organizations were put in place and implemented to serve the thousands of guests expected to visit the monument. We are here today to say thank you for your help and support during the eclipse. We are grateful to the Gage County Highway Department for their assistance with traffic management, signage around the monument. We are also grateful for the support and involvement from the Gage County Sheriff's Office. Please know we must expand on and in highlight the assistance received from Sheriff Gus Gustafson and his staff, not only on Eclipse Monday, but during the months and weeks leading up to totality. Sheriff Gustafson and Chief Deputy Klaus were actively involved in first monthly planning meetings, then weekly conference calls, then daily briefings. It was Sheriff Gustafson that reached out to the Seward County Sheriff's Office to recruit assistance from the Seward County Mounted Posse, one of the primary groups that aided in the management of people and traffic around the monument. As well, Sheriff Gustafson and his staff were outstanding in their implementation of the plans throughout the 4 days in support of eclipse-related activities in the park. Over the weekend and on Eclipse Monday, only a few minor incidents occurred in or around the monument, and we would say much of this can be attributed to the work from Sheriff Gus Gustafson and his team. We are grateful for the help and support received from Gage County. Our hats are off to you as well. Homestead National Monument of America is fortunate to be able to call Gage County home.
Did Gus write that letter for you?
No.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. And it took a lot of planning on a lot of people's part. I know when Laura came to this board, over a year ahead of that, most of us all rolled our eyes and thought, you got to be kidding me. I told a lot of people it was because of the planning that went on and the work that went on ahead of time in this of why it turned out the way it did. So I just tell everybody thank you, because there was some people that took the initiative and went ahead and saw what could be and developed a plan and went and did a lot of work. It was a lot of work on a lot of people. It turned. The great part was, in most of the county, the clouds moved enough so you could see it. Yes.
So true.
Absolutely fantastic, so true. Mark. You guys were just unbelievable, and we're very proud to have you here.
Yep. Thank you.
Very lucky.
Thank you. So we're not, just like to say, everything you said, Myron, we totally agree with, and we know that there were many, many, many folks in the county, throughout the county, that were involved and engaged, and just to see the excitement in the community throughout the county, and it was pretty awesome.
Yep.
So, thank you.
My wife made me get out in the front yard and look at this.
Give a copy
thing to
everybody. We'll do
it again in a couple of years.
Yeah. So,
Mark, did you hear that? You're going to do it again in a couple of years?
Love to talk about it.
We will make sure everybody has a copy of that, and if Scott would like a copy too, we'll sure give that around. So thank you, Mark. Next on the agenda, we'll have Laura Young come up here. We have two visitors grants, and the first one, it says discuss and approve or disapprove visitor improvement grant. Village Adams and Adams Ball Association for ADA Accessibility Playground area in the amount of $10,000. And I think everybody should have a packet if you have your envelope, and it has a lot of information in there. So,
Laura, how many people were in the area altogether? I see it's broken out some, so many people for each place. Did you ever figure out how many you think were actually in the county for?
Well, I planned to do a report, but it wasn't on the agenda, but I can talk if you want me to talk, as long as I don't cough. But
that's fine with me.
But I'll answer your question. Yeah. We estimated that we had about 40,000 people in the county in a lot of areas. We tried to do the count as we could. We also know that a lot of people didn't report us. We also knew of a lot of private parties that had upwards of 100 people. And I also know that the county roads were full of people.
Yes.
So that's our best estimate. We were never going to get a solid number. But we believe on that Monday we had 40,000 people in the county.
And I was on.
And I know people left. People left to chase it. And for several days, the national news was saying we were a poor place to watch it. So we didn't get as many people in as we really could have if we would have had clear skies. So I think with clouds, 40,000 people is great. And I'm not sure if we could have handled a whole lot more.
I was on that list of people that kind of laughed about this when you talked about it.
I know. Okay. The first grant is Village of Adams. They are enhancing their park and enhancing their ball fields to bring in tournaments, and this is a piece of that.
And I did talk to some of them, and I know they're here, so if they wanted to come up, if Jenny wanted to come up and explain this too a little bit, or Laura, if you want to.
Do you have, I guess, questions? The advisory committee felt this was a good piece to help with that park and their whole long scheme plan of developing. You know, when you got teams in, you need a place for the younger kids to play, and that just kind of enhances it all.
Yeah.
If you guys want to add any more than that.
You want to come up and talk, one of you, or whatever? We need a name and address.
Sure. Just so.
Okay, Jenny.
I'm Jenny Lemke. I'm from Adams. Do you need my address?
Yeah, for the record.
Gotcha. I'm at 313 Falcon Drive. Right by the park, which is where we're hoping to do some improvements. I moved to Adams about a year ago, and I work in Adams. I'm from Adams originally, and I've tried to be as involved as possible in making improvements. And this came up to us. I was on the committee for the wine and beer tasting this year. This is our second year running it, and we wanted to raise money again for improvements to the community. This playground equipment came up. If you're familiar with our park at all, we have the two fields, one of which is going to hopefully soon be starting the project to be getting the new crow's nest. And the ultimate goal long-term, not only improving our facilities, but hopefully eventually inviting tournaments and additional activities to the community. Like I said, that's kind of our long-term goal. We need some new playground equipment that's more centrally located for these two ball fields. I'm a good example of this. I have a younger brother who plays baseball, and I also have a one-year-old, and we can't run over to the other playground equipment. So we need more centrally located playground equipment for our two ball fields. Again, just helping enhance the park and getting as much use of our park, as much bang for our buck as we can. I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any.
I'll just make a quick comment. Yeah. I know Adams is a little bit like Beatrice. There's always a need for more ball fields. In Adams, they used to always have one. Now they have two. If you have a rain out, there's enough games scheduled with enough visiting teams coming in. You can't reschedule the rain out. There's the youth in today and the sports is just phenomenal. I just am amazed.
Yeah.
I've driven over and taken a look at what you've been doing, and you're doing fantastic, and I just think this is a fantastic grant. I think this is something we need to do.
On an economic development standpoint, I mean, every time you have ball games, whether it's a grocery store or wherever, there's dollars flowing. Kids want drinks, food, whatever, so gas. I don't know if they're fixing their car there, but it's always bringing people in for something to spend money on.
Just tell Grauman he can't be opening up on Sunday, okay?
Well, that's my dad, so I'll let him know.
I knew that.
Okay. I wouldn't worry about that.
Any more questions for him? If not, I entertain a motion to approve or disapprove the $10,000 in funding.
So moved.
Second.
To approve.
Approve.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Thiemann. Vote. 6-0 in favor. And then the other one, the next one, Laura.
The last one is for the Gage County Historical Society, and they are doing a lot with capital improvement to the front of their building and also to the inside of their building, and we've granted them for exhibit inside, and this one is for an electronic sign that will help people know where the museum is, know what's going on in the museum. They're going to be able to do some historical things about the county on the sign. And then for the relaying of the brick inside their property, not on the street, but inside their property along the sidewalk. One of the things, one of the benefits of doing this is in the past, this the train station was used in a movie, and there's not a whole lot of original train sites across the country, and so this can continue to stay on that registry of, who knows, maybe somebody's going to want that look for a movie at some point, which is why they really want to be able to keep that original look. So that's what it is.
You said this is just for the
It's
brick just inside and just on their property.
On their property, not on the street.
Because part of what
I know,
the stuff in here maybe didn't quite explain it, you know, quite right.
Right.
The one out that was, I was looking it up, it had a 20% match to the city for some funds and stuff. So
well, and that because the whole project, the street and their sidewalk brick was all included in that.
Okay.
And so, yes, I had to read it a few times myself, and I had to understand it. But this is just, this does not, this will not pay for anything on the Second Street. It will just on their property off the Second Street.
I thought their property was in that bid with the state, the driveway. And
it is, but they're responsible of that. They're responsible for paying their own up there on their property.
Well, and it's number 27 in this thing, it says that the Historical Society's portion is $268,000,
right,
which they're responsible for the 20% match to the $53,666, which is on the front page there for the brick.
Right. And so, and that's that brick on their property. It is, there's a lot of moving pieces to it, but it's not for any of the street.
But then, like Eric said, that their part of the project for that was included in the whole bid.
Correct.
How much these dollars are going to the brick project, and how much to the electronic sign?
$53,660 is going to the brick, and $25,930 is going to the sign.
On the front page.
On the very.
Do you have that in?
Do you have one of these?
It's in the white packet.
No. Okay.
Yep.
And this application actually says the street.
I think they've just all called it the street brick project.
Now, are these sidewalks already, they're already brick now, right? They're going to redo them?
I know there's brick around it. I honestly can't answer that question because I haven't.
The sign's almost 26 grand.
But they're making it historically accurate, that I know. So if it's not now, it was at one point. But I think I can't tell you. I know there's brick in part of the driveway, but they're going to take that brick out and they're going to make that concrete. And I think they're taking that brick and making the sidewalk, it's a U-shaped sidewalk. There's a picture in here.
I haven't looked at these plans for a few years. Well, it's probably been 4 or 5 years when they did the original plans, but I think what they were going to do is pull the brick out of the drive, concrete that, and re-brick it. And then there's limestone curb behind that, and then brick behind that. Now, that could have changed over the last 5 years.
How come they aren't here to explain this?
Because they came to the advisory committee. Yeah, and the advisory committee is making the recommendation. There's a picture in the packet of what it's going to look like.
And I guess I am unsure about the brick part of this as to what it is. And if it is brick being replaced with brick, then it becomes a maintenance project.
Would you like me to gather some more information and bring this back?
I think that'd be better.
I think that'd be good, and then maybe okay. have them
attend also.
I should have visited with you. We visited with, I know Gary visited with Lisa. I visited with Lisa a little bit the other day, too, about this project okay. after Monday and stuff, and I apologize, I didn't call you.
Yeah, well, and Lisa didn't share that with me, so I wasn't aware of any questions or concerns.
So why don't we can put you on in the agenda in 2 weeks. Will that work?
That works, and can we just put me on the agenda, too, for a report?
Quarterly report?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought I was doing that today, too. So
I didn't have any of that information.
That's fine.
Sorry.
We'll do both, and then that'll work out good.
That'll work out just fine.
I looked back at a year before, and I thought, oh, the quarterly report.
Well, and then you did include, and then maybe you can talk a little bit about the eclipse report, too, because you did include that in our packet. You have pages of that here from each community and so on. And
yes.
Let's, next meeting we'll have that,
too. We'll just do it all.
Cover it all then.
Okay.
Good stuff.
On here, I was just looking through the letter by Tobias Templemeyer, and that's what this is for, is the sidewalks, the driveway, and the landscape improvements. That's what comes up to this 53,665. So it's sidewalks, landscape, and driveway.
Okay. But now I think
but
it's
I will.
Best. I think we had enough questions. There's enough. Wonder or
yes.
unanswered questions. That'd
yes.
be great if you come back.
I can do that.
Laura,
yes.
Go ahead,
Laura. A couple things that were discussed at committee. Was it committee meeting the other day? Yeah.
Committee meeting. Yeah.
A couple of the things was that maybe keeping these two items separated rather than lumping them together.
Yeah, that was mentioned too. So, and if you want them to do that, they'd have to go back through the whole process to break them up.
I think that was kind of the little bit of the discussion that we had here. I think there was quite a bit of support to keep them separate.
Okay. I will tell them that we'll split them up into two separate grants, and it'll go back to the advisory committee then.
Okay.
We'll just kick it all back. So, and we'll try to have it done in 2 weeks. I'll have to contact you.
If that's not that, we can delay that another 2 weeks, but we'll still have your report. So
okay. I'll just wait for you to tell me when you want it on.
Okay, perfect.
So.
Okay.
And Laura, the other, and
yes.
I apologize, the last meeting we were loading the trains and I didn't get somebody down there because some of these questions would have been brought up if one of us had been there.
Well, and we talked about it and the advisory committee decided it was fine to leave it together. So we did talk about it. So
I guess the other one of the concerns that I have is that we're talking about putting a $26,000 electronic sign up that is going to be hardwired. How is that? I mean, that floodplain area has been covered with water at least twice in the last 2 years.
Yep.
What is going to be the plan for not having a $10,000 bill to repair this every time the water comes up?
That was asked. She said it would be safe, but I will make sure that that's addressed in writing.
Yeah.
Because she said it wouldn't, the way they're going to do it shouldn't affect the sign. But.
Okay.
I think that's part of the information we need to have in the next meeting.
I will absolutely tell her. Thank you.
We need some evidence to that.
Okay.
Not just her comment.
Okay. Anything else?
Anything else? Need from Laura. Thank you much.
You're welcome.
See you in 2 weeks.
Keep up the good work in Adams.
Next up on the agenda. Sheriff Gustafson and Lori Wallenberg to verify Sheriff Distress Warrant Report and discuss and approve or disapprove striking personal property taxes. I don't know however you want to handle it.
Personal excuse.
Really?
Horrible manager. Did I say that?
Good morning. We really just have three to address today as far as to strike on the distress warrants. And does everybody have this sheet I highlighted?
Yeah.
The one? And then on the second sheet, it tells you the amount and what the reason no mobile home located owner deceased.
It's pretty self-explanatory. I mean, at some point in time, you just have to say enough's enough because we'll spend money trying to collect it. Some of these I've tried for years, and it's not going to be there. So that's my recommendation to Lori.
So there's three of them, and there's a, I don't know, I guess that's, one of them's for $156.74, another is for $74.94, and the third one is for $159.56. Mm-hmm. And your recommendation is to strike those and remove them from the record.
Yes.
Entertain a motion to...
Move to approve.
Approve striking those three from the record. Do I have a second?
Second.
A motion by Lytle, second by Hill. And what we're doing then is that we will no longer try to collect those. They're just basically eliminated.
Right. Quick question. These people, if they don't pay, what do they have to do to avoid paying? Because I want to know how I get on this list.
I make a special attempt on you all.
No, I mean, this is just we can't find them. We don't know what it's for. I mean,
or like the mobile home is gone, you know, those type of things. Yeah. Yes.
On the, and the people went with the mobile home?
Or just abandoned it.
Yeah.
You know, on the situation with the Vandegrifts, Ruth passed away. Of course, Bill, I think, was the name. They're all gone. And it was a nephew or a son at some point in time. Had a property, never wanted it. It was just a mess, and never got it collected, and so it just wasn't going anywhere.
I spent more trying to collect them.
Vote. Five in favor with Tiemann's voting. Oh, six in favor.
That was an accident.
Next up, we have the we have the Treasurer's Report of Parcels. No. Striking personal property taxes? Or that's what we did there?
That's what we did.
This is the Sheriff's Warrant Report.
And that was basically what he comes back with, and then that's my report. Yes.
That's my recommendations to the Treasurer on the distress warrants.
Distress warrants. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, it's all...
Discuss and approve or disapprove striking personal property taxes.
Yes.
And that's what this one here is with our list of the two pages long.
No, that was all together. The distress warrants are issued after the personal property,
okay.
And they can't.
That's what this one here.
It. Yeah.
We just
covered it all with one motion.
We just did it all in kind of one
motion.
There you go.
We basically Gus gives a report and Lori makes sure he's doing it right. So
yeah. But we just approved the striking the three personal property taxes.
That's correct.
But do we need to make a motion now to place on file the distress warrant report or not? No.
Item.
The next item. Okay, sorry. I'm following along here now. Approve or disapprove receiving Treasurer's list of delinquent taxes on parcels of real estate in the county which remain unsold for one of a bidder and directing the county treasurer to issue county tax sales on the delinquent taxes. Now I follow along.
Right. And these are for the 2014 taxes that nobody purchased at our tax sale in March. So there isn't a lot of them, but this is just to have you direct me to issue a county sale for them.
How does somebody buy these if they want to? There's no one that bought these at the sale, so right. They just come and talk to you and say.
Yeah, we have some paperwork thing fill out, and then, yeah, they can buy the taxes. Yeah, they're all available if somebody wants them.
So this is to a point now where this is for sale then, basically?
These are after everybody's had a chance, and these are basically what are left.
Are left. And are you just buying the taxes?
Yes.
Currently?
Yes, okay. Buying the taxes.
None of these are close to the situation like we had in Wymore.
No, this is the beginning phase.
This is the beginning of that whole process, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
It'll take approximately another...
3 years.
3 years before yes. we would ever be in that situation.
Yes. We'll never allow that to happen.
Right.
Because we won't have a representative there.
We won't have a representative there.
Don't say anything about it. Just yeah. The understandings are...
Those are bankrupt.
Let's leave it there.
But if I read this right, then on the last page there's a... Well, there was, I guess, a total of a little over 18,000. Some of those that have been collected shouldn't be in there.
Well, the ones that have the line through it with the BK are bankruptcy ones, so we can't issue a tax sale on them at this time.
Okay.
Yeah. Lori, tell me what BK stands for.
Bankruptcy.
Bankruptcy.
So we can't issue a tax sale.
That's why the line's through them.
Yes.
So they're not collected.
Right. They're not collected either. They're just in bankruptcy.
Okay.
Is that recent bankruptcy if it's on there?
Well, it's still in effect, the bankruptcy.
Which if they have a reorganization bankruptcy, it can last like 3 to 5 years.
Time.
So that we might be within that time frame that the trustee's still operating.
So if they... When during they're in bankruptcy or at any point in time, are they available? I mean, is there a possibility to collecting those?
Yes,
there is in bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Okay,
when you have real estate taxes, they're always latched on to the real estate.
They're always latched on, Jay.
But if the real estate's worth something, then there's always a chance.
Before they could go and sell partial real estate, then these would be paid.
Yep.
Right, they'd have to be paid.
That taxes would be paid on there. So there is something hanging out over them, I should say, then.
Yeah, usually we get something from the bankruptcy court, yes.
Well, no, that BK you have on there, there's one name that's the majority of those.
Yes.
Yes. So that's why, yeah. Entertain that motion to approve receiving the treasurer's list of delinquent tax parcels of real estate in the county.
So moved.
And part of that is and directing the treasurer to issue the tax sales.
Oh yeah, and
just so
which clear. Remain unsold for one of bidders, and directing the county treasurer to issue county tax sales on the delinquent taxes. Okay. Second. Motion by Team and a second by Lytle. Vote 6-0 in favor. Thank you, Lori.
Thank you.
Well, you got that. Never mind. I'll keep that one. Okay. Next up on the agenda, receive and approve or disapprove the Highway Superintendent recommendation to award the bid on STWD-CBMP1 Bridge Match Program Project with gauge C-341092, Johnson CE, which is Johnson County 49-49 in parentheses 220, and Nemaha County 64 in parentheses 94 counties to M.E. Collins Contracting Company Incorporated with low bid of $689,128.96.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Thiemann and a second by Lytle. Gaynon, you want to talk about this just a little bit?
Yeah, these are the bids that we received for the three counties' box culvert projects. Johnson County and Nemaha County have reviewed and approved the bid with M.E. Collins also. And I'd recommend we approve awarding the bid to M.E. Collins because they are the low bid of $689,128.96.
And Gage County's portion of that was, give or take, a little around $190,000,
yes. $193,586.21.
Okay. Any more questions? If not, vote 6-0 in favor. Thank you, Gavin. Next up, discuss and approve or disapprove agreements for outside holding of prisoners and authorizing the county sheriff to sign agreements. I think, Gus, we'll have you come up and committee meeting. You had a report and you had a recommendation, not recommendation, I guess, kind of a plan.
Well, it was... I think Myron had asked me about, their committee had some time back, about the possibility of what it would be to contract, not only contract, but do some agreements, guaranteed agreements on those contracts for beds. So initially we talked about the number of beds, and we thought we'd tweak a little more. So what it did is I went back with the staff. We sat down and figured out what was our best scenario for us, given the circumstances right now. From that, we'd recommend a guaranteed agreement of $45 per day for 10 mixed gender beds in Washington County, Kansas. Then over that guaranteed rate, it'd go back to the original $35 we have now for a contract. And, of course, that agreement's attached, and the current one's already on file here with Dawn. Secondly, we would ask for a guaranteed rate of $45 per day for 5 mixed gender beds in Dawson County, Nebraska. Over that guaranteed number, it'd stay at a rate of $45. That's where they're at right now with our agreement, currently on file, and the updated one is attached also. The drug court for our area here is out of Saline County. So what we've been doing, it's been working out fairly well for us. Those in drug court, we just pretty much let stay there in Saline County and do their time there. That agreement is currently a contract we have on file. It's $50 a day. And that's worked pretty well for us right now on those receiving them from their court there. Then after that point in time, we felt we'd just go to Butler County. We've used them before. They've been pretty good to work with. They're $45 a day. There's no contract on that. And I'm sure if it stays like the trends are here, we'd be more than that and some of their jails as well. But at least all the jails we've been using, those are the ones that were by far, I think, the cheapest we've been using. And so we started with those, and it worked out pretty well. Now, the one in Dawson County, we'll point out, that was, they're going to guarantee us one transport per week was one. If they can get two or three, depends what they do in the district or go to federal court in Lincoln, but they'd say they do one for sure. If it doesn't, and that'll be one of those things where it'll be test that, because if they can, we have to, and that'll be a full day gone for at least one transport officer on that. So, and like I say, I've heard some complaints from around your head about the attorneys having to be so far away and on and on and on. I said, well, you know, it is what it is. We just have to face the fact, and we do what we can to make the best for the county. So it is going to be, we discussed that Monday, if the board decides to do this, this will be over what I budgeted. We budgeted 190, because this is stuff that came up after the budgets were kind of set and approved. I think, what do we figure, 247,000, I think it was, or something?
36 or something, yeah. Like that. I know we've had a lot of discussion in that committee here in that board meeting.
So, and we don't have to do anything. I mean, it was just something that you want to look at, and so we looked into it. And
well, part of, I think, when you came maybe a couple months ago and expressed the visible concern that we needed more employees over here because we were putting them out in approximately 7 different jails and finding a bed in one of those jails. That's why...
Right.
Through some of the board members' discussion, came up with this idea, let's get a hold of them and see what kind of proposals we could come up with that they would guarantee us so many beds so we don't have to call 5 places to try and find a place for an inmate.
And Roger's staff has gone back through these that we revised since the last time, so they're okay with it.
It's the really unfortunate thing through all this is that our numbers aren't going down. That's if
we're not seeing
if
that.
We could see a trend or would see a trend that would make this not having to do this or not even a good plan, I guess. Yeah. It would throw everything out. But those numbers are staying up there. Everything we hear from, I'll say this, from Roger, the courts, from you, is right now there's not a good likelihood that number is going to start heading down. We don't see it. I mean, unfortunately.
Yeah, and we're not the only county in this situation. There's a lot of them that they're not situations. So,
and we there's no quick fix with the jail. We're not going to go over there and change this and put 20 more beds in there overnight. That's not going to happen. As much as we talk about that too, or would like to. Yeah. So,
and I did. I talked to jail standards quite a bit earlier this week on going from level 3 detention facility to just a holding facility in 96 hours. You still have to have 2 staff on the floor. I can get away with not having visitation and recreation, but I think the lieutenant had put some stuff together. You can, if you want, Tony. And it was going to be rather expensive to kind of get that situated where it needs to be. He had some notes here for you, can kind of go over a little bit. So the inspector told me we're not the only ones. We are between a rock and a hard place because we are one of the busier ones, it seems like, with our size facility. So although you get rid of a few things I have to do now in the GLB standards are still things that I still have to do, even for 96 hours. So he said it's, you know, they, like I told you before, Dodge and Saunders went into a negotiation on that. They closed their jail down in Dodge. I think they have gone now to where they at least book them in and then transport to Saunders. Well, you know, last week when they had that escape and that officer assaulted, I think that was a Dodge County deputy, if I remember correctly, getting a prisoner from Saunders going to court in Lincoln and back. So whenever, and like he said, it's a valid point, whenever you, anytime you leave a secured facility, it's always an issue for that liability and escapes and accidents and everything else. So any questions on that? Tony can kind of address a little bit for you if you got some questions on the numbers.
These are really, really quickly I put this together. So there's obviously, if I spent more time on it, I could probably get it more to closer to, and like the very first one, jail director's salary, that's optional. I mean, the sheriff says, you know, if we have a temporary holding, we may not need a jail director. So, I mean, that's that may, you know, that could probably come off of there. So, and I figured four transport officers because they're going to be going all different directions. I put in overtime. I didn't put anything in for part-time COs. Cell phones is for all four transport officers. And you still have utilities. We still have to provide inmate medical. That the first one, that does 20600. That's that catastrophic medical. Because we would still be, he would still be responsible for paying medical when they're out.
How am I? Just a question. I'm probably just stupid, but. Eight correction officers for jail, two per shift. I thought we had three shifts.
No.
Four?
12-hour shift.
Two per shift.
Yep, two on day,
so
day
that's
shifts, one night shift.
Four shifts.
Yeah, four shifts, 24 hours.
Oh, yeah, right.
So they're just 6 hours per person.
No, it's 12. 12 per person. You have 2 day shifts, 2 night shifts. They rotate. When one's off, the other one's back in.
No, but he's, in a 24-hour day, there's a 12-hour shift and another 12-hour shift. And what Gus is explaining is
you've got two per shift. That's four if you've got two shifts and not eight.
But you can't have them do 7 days,
right.
365 days a year.
Days off.
That's why each shift would have two shifts of two people. You're only going to work 3 or 4 days a week at 12-hour... 3 days at 12 hours gives you 36 hours already. So they, you know, they can't work every shift. I know there's two 12-hour shifts, but two people can't work that every day of the year. It takes two shifts of each shift, or eight people.
And then on the boarding contract, I broke them down into several different areas for you on that. Look at that. It's just something I threw together for you guys to look at. I thought you might like, you know, you're always looking for different ways to save money, so.
And this is just some numbers you threw together quick.
This is nothing
to hold your hat on or anything.
No.
Because like you said, the very first one administrator salary, you may not need an administrator.
Right. Didn't really ever know until you really got into it. Really did something.
How many people do we have working in the jail right now?
Full-time only?
11.
So the way this is drawn up, we'll actually have three more people. Because there's
you've got the transport.
There's 12
people.
Plus the administrator.
11, that's 11 without me.
Oh.
11 without me.
So there's actually, the way this is drawn up, there's actually more people working at the jail to have a part-time hold.
Yep.
Because right now you don't have four transport officers.
Right.
You're projecting that.
Projecting that.
If we transport everybody.
Monday through Friday, we need probably.
That, to be able to do that, you would need four officers.
Try to get everybody back for court.
Well, you're going to need more than one transport van.
And there's no savings on labor at all than to have a hold facility versus a full-fledged jail.
Technically not, no. According to them, there's not. You still have to provide.
Because jail standard says just with a hold facility, you have to have two people on per shift.
That's something somebody needs to be on the state about. Then they require this, and then they don't want to fund it. Or we can take people to Kansas, Missouri, anywhere else, and we don't need all this nonsense. The state sticks their nose in our operation again. What happens if we tell them where to go and we're not gonna offer what they say we need to? What do? Close us down and we say fine?
Yeah. Close it down. That's what they do.
Send a letter. Close it down and we say fine. We wash our hands of it.
But he said, I asked that question. He said, if you close yourself down, there's no hold. It's just you're closed. That county does not provide any correctional services. It'd just be transport them constantly.
But then what? I mean, yeah.
So then we get rid of all this expense.
Well, then somebody arrests somebody, you got to transport him.
You've got a statutory duty that, by law, this county has to take care of them.
If they close us down, we can't. Now the state has to figure it out.
No, the state say the same thing, and they're on the back end of an ACLU.
Yes.
So, I mean, and I understand your frustration. Every county goes through this. I mean, you've got, I've seen that committee, okay, and I didn't last very long on it because I got different views on corrections. But that's the rules. Gus is bound by them.
Seems odd for a temporary hold that we have to increase staff from a full-fledged jail. I mean, that's a lot of brilliance if that's coming from Lincoln. Somebody needs shook.
But keep in mind, some of that, Eric, is safety.
Just guessing.
Well, and we don't know that.
Right.
I mean,
might be more.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
But again, keep in mind some of that safety of your employees over there. You know, just like Gus was referring to that escape situation. You start putting skeleton crews in, and I know we all are trying to save money, and you guys do a good job of that. You get to a point where somebody's at risk, and then somebody gets hurt or worse.
Well, that one was a real close one, it sounds like.
He's a lucky man.
They all are. I mean, seriously, that's what you deal with. So, I don't know.
Well, your hands are tied on a lot of things, obviously, like Roger said. The one we had here last year escaped, got the front door, and got tackled. We can get far, but that would never happen if I wouldn't have to abide by fire marshal regulations. We put a door in specifically for that purpose and locked it, and the first time they come through inspection said, you can't do that. That's your egress. Have to open back up because the way the jail's designed, there is two cells that we use for certain things once in a while, and once they're out beyond the perimeter, they can boogie, so... There's just a lot of guidelines. I will tell you, Eric, we discussed it Monday, looked back a little bit from last year's budget, this year's, we're about 85,000 to 90,000 less than last year's. Now, that's because a lot of things we don't need anymore. They were budgeted in that year and they're out. And that's still on top of putting two more people in there that we talked about before on the corrections to have that, enough people on night shift to have that, shift replenishment, you know, give a time off.
And you're not going to have that now?
And we would. That's still included in here.
Oh.
But we're still at much less than last year.
Because that's where you're really burning people out and needing the time off. So they aren't just all...
That's what happens. And, the, you know, 12-hour shifts is where we're starting to go because it gives everybody an opportunity to get a weekend off once in a while. The problem is, and if you went off, he's got to fill in on the opposite shift, and that's a constant. It's become a burnout after a while.
No quick fix, but we can have more discussion, or we even entertain a motion to go ahead and decide to do something. I guess I'll get Gary.
Tony, I appreciate the effort you put here. If this is in reference to the questions that I was asking, that this, while I appreciate you doing this work and finally putting this kind of out there and somewhat putting that idea to rest, that wasn't what I was saying. What I was saying was is that if we're contracting 15, what if we contract 20 or 25 beds? Are we able to not, you know, do we need to have as many staff on hand? That was my question that I was asking Gus the other day, and I think that there was some misunderstanding there as to what I was saying.
You're saying is the numbers over there are lower, do we need that many staff?
Exactly.
Yeah, and we still would. I mean, it doesn't... Yeah.
Because of jail standards, basically. Yeah. What I heard Gus say, because of jail standards, we have to have a minimum amount of staffing there.
Because you've got one booking in or whatever.
But we have already met that minimum. We're hiring two new people. That's my point.
Oh, okay.
Are we need? Can we
That's
get...
That's your point.
At that, you know, if we reduce... inmates enough, you know, what's that number to reduce to where we aren't having to employ more people?
I don't think numbers would matter on that. What we're trying to accomplish with the other two on nights is the burnout from night shift.
Right.
So by staffing three, one takes vacation, they can work with two because they're still within jail standards.
But
that's what other facilities are doing, their overstaffing to cover for vacations, sick, so that they have.
But part of the burnout is because we have so many inmates over there to take care of, or else the burnout has been going on forever, and now all of a sudden it's just a problem.
It's our population is higher, you know. So the type of individuals we're getting, you know, they're under the influence of drugs, and we have to fight them more.
Right.
And it's stressful for them.
Sure. No, I don't. I'm not belittling what they're doing. Trust me on that.
And you know,
it's just, but even if we're, I think we're even at 15. Like I was talking to Jill Stern, he said, it's a little less burdensome on the staff if you don't have all the requirements to follow, but you still need people there to watch the ones you have. And that's the issue you have, and you can see what we're having on things going on now from time to time back there involving some of Roger's cohorts. So.
And that, I'm not doubting what we're talking about. I just wanted to put the questions answered so that somebody in the public asks the question, you know, why don't we just do this? Then we got the answers already. We, you know, we've looked at it before.
I tried to throw this together for you to just
yeah.
an option. Also, yeah. I know you guys talked about it. And
I wasn't talking about, you know, becoming a short-term hold facility.
Well, but I want to throw it out there for you guys to look at and see and try to crunch some numbers for you.
Yeah.
So you've got it in your head on what we're kind of looking at.
Whether we're empty or full, we need the same amount of staff, though, because you have to have, and it makes sense. You always want that second person I can see for a real safety factor there.
Well, especially if you got male, female, you know, it's coming and going. You kind of have to have opposite genders.
You always keep women with women and men with men. I mean, is that how you have to?
We have to keep them separated.
But I mean, when you're handling them, if you transport or anything, does a man have to go to?
With the new van, we can separate them because we've got that cage in there. It was like my car. I can't put a male and female in the back together. So that's a nice thing about the van, too. We can haul males and females at the same time.
We actually staffing for male and female over there at the same time. I mean, we're normally not keeping females, right?
Well,
we're doing short term.
Short term.
Jail standards said we could hold them for. They didn't want us to hold females for no more than 8 hours without a female working. That's
right.
Why we ship all females out as soon as the courts.
Yep.
That's why we hold a lot of them down there.
Well, negotiate and have it 12 hours, and then you only need a female in every shift. See, every other shift. See, no.
I'm just happy if I can get a qualified body and hire them. I'll just move some inmates out to make room to accommodate them because that's how bad it's getting to be.
Well, and with the new vehicle, then you can transport both at the same time, so we have less transportation costs, right?
Well, a little bit. If we're going to Washington, yeah. We don't have females. We have females in Washington.
A little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
400,000, 500.
Well, that paid more.
That's a little bit.
A little bit has gotten to be a lot anymore.
Well, Myron,
well, thank you for those numbers. Yep, go ahead.
I still struggle with the 10 guaranteed beds at Washington County where we're agreeing to pay more than we pay at a regular rate. I think with the guaranteeing that we're going to fill beds, I don't understand why the price is going to be more on that. I still struggle with that. You know, with Dawson County, you know, at least we're not paying. I mean, we're guaranteeing beds, and we're getting the same rate. And I'm still struggling with the 10 beds down at Washington County. I agree that it makes sense to go ahead and make sure that we have beds available because it appears that we're going to have these people going out there. And at times we've struggled to have, because we've had people in seven different jails at one time. So I understand guaranteeing beds somewhere so that we have maybe one or two locations that we're going to instead of seven.
Well, I imagine down there, he could be, his $45, he's saying, if I'm going to give up X amount of beds, whatever the board decides, if they want to do, he said, I got to make sure that I'm not going to lose on that. He could have his contract with states, $45. I don't know down there, you know what it is. So,
but the point is that we're paying $35.
That's what surprised me. He said to go back to 35.
If if he's losing money at $35, then why is his rate 35? And then why are we moving back to $35 after the 10 beds? You know, that's what I struggle with. Why do we want a contract down there when we can take them down there for $35 right now? Especially when we can contract at these other locations at that price. Go ahead and contract those beds. Keep that down there at 35 and let it roll.
Couple questions on that thought. The majority of the female population go to Washington?
Yes.
Not very often to Dawson then? Or?
Well, I don't think we've hardly seen to Dawson, have we?
In this proposal was either gender or whatever.
Yeah, we did Dawson. That just so we didn't know what we'd have to have. We got to kind of leave that. So for fall here, we got to be able to go someplace else.
So what are you doing now if you know, part of the time they haven't taken inmates down there, then where are the female ones going? Wherever you can go.
I don't think we've been using Sling or Washington County for females. We haven't had to ship them anywhere else.
Oh, you haven't had to.
So they haven't shut you down or been full when you needed to go there?
What's that?
They haven't been full?
Well, Washington County works with us so well that they actually moved inmates around and made the female area larger for us so that we can hold them. So we also, just throwing this out there, because Washington works with us so well, we had one of our inmates down there that got sick and they had to go to the hospital and has been there, may still be in the hospital, and he paid for staff to sit with that person. Not Kim asked him.
That's pretty good.
That's
pretty darn good.
Well, I was pretty.
I'm holding my breath on how long to laugh, but that was pretty decent of him.
Gus, the reason I bring this up is that when you add another $10 to 10 dollars for 10 beds a day for a year, you're talking about $36,000 additional that we're paying down there by agreeing to a contract over what our daily rate is now. I guess that's why I struggle with it.
I understand.
Like I say,
we don't have to do nothing. This is just something that you wanted to see. So we continue like we're doing, we'll just continue on. That's
one of the Seward County commissioners gave me an estimate last night of what they're charging, and it's $45 a day is a pretty good rate.
You mean compared to what their costs are?
Well, what they're going to charge.
No, they're 65. Weren't they 65, Seward?
Seward.
Are they charging 60? So. Yeah, they're 65 they're charging us.
It was in the 60s, yes.
Yeah, so that's why
that's
really
still below their cost per prisoner probably to have them there.
Sling County, I think, 60. They were charging us 85 or 60. State charges us 85.
Myron? Yep.
What I've been hearing, not really involved, what I've been hearing, Washington County, I think, works well. We're going to have these prisoners around. The extra $10 a day doesn't bother me. I'd say contract it, get them down there. My opinion.
You're talking 15, Terry?
I'm talking 10, like was stated here.
Yep.
And the other five was
Dawson.
This isn't going away.
No, this thing isn't going away.
I mean, there could be a time when, hey, we're full now, guys. No. Now what are you going to do?
If you had 15 beds, would you have to go anywhere else?
Right now, we've been running
more than 15.
We've been running between 20 and 30 out.
Yeah. So I was going to say, when we went down that,
we've been running, our numbers have been between 40 and 50 total.
So when we get down to Butler County, if they can't take our excess, then it's still going to be going out trying to, or could stay in the other places. All this would do was guarantee me that I'm going to have X amount of beds out, or they're full or not, which we'd make sure they're full anyway. If
maybe a little bit less, hopefully a little bit less transporting. Yeah. But you would have to be running all these places.
And Gary, I understand that $10 deal. I get it. But to me, I can't see how they're making a hell of a lot of money at $35 a day housing these prisoners down there. Maybe they do. Maybe it's covering their cost. But by the time you got food and everything else that we have here on top of it, they're buying the food. They're doing all that kind of stuff. They're treating us decent the way it sounds on the medical thing here.
They still have to book them in and everything there, too.
Well, yeah.
Because they you down book there. Them here, and then you have to book them there as well, sure. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
So what if we skip this step and put them right there?
Because we have to have it in our system. They have to be in our
they'll be in,
system.
And they'll be in court here. They won't be in court down there.
No.
They booked them in there showing that they are
their facility.
Safety, basically, or a hold for another county.
Safekeeping.
We would do the same thing here if we help somebody. We would still put them into our jam system.
Gary?
The thing that, you know, you're going 108 miles round trip transport down to there. The thing that I continue to say is that we need to maximize our use of Dawson County, where they have the ability to transport and we're not having to transport. That's, I guess, the thing that I'm trying. That the $10 is one thing, but the transport is another thing. I mean, Gus even talked about needing a second transport van. If we got, you know, how 15 that are down there, you know, are we going to need a second transport van if we got 15 or 20 that are down at in Washington County? You know, I think we need to maximize our use of Dawson County where they're working with us for that same $45 a day rate. That's the other part of the story that why I struggle with putting 10 guaranteed beds down.
Roger just needs to talk to the judges and make sure they sentence them so that Gus can put them out there for a year and we don't have to worry about them. No.
There's so many variables that you're trying to make good decisions based on potential contracts, and that you got so many variables.
Yes, you do.
And that's what drives you crazy.
Attorney's fees is, I know what you're saying, is attorney's fees and bill us, is that going to make up a difference on that one free trip we get if they're going to be billing us to go out and see them or talk to them?
Most time you guys do a good job. You know, as you get closer to a hearing, you get these people back so that they can talk to the attorneys. The attorneys can walk across the street and talk to them. I realize sometimes that may not be the most convenient thing to wait, but, again, they can still reach them by phone. And our contracts provide that we will not listen. You know, we specifically put in the contract. So I don't know what more we could do to help alleviate that situation. I really don't. And I think the biggest thing is the expense. I don't, you know.
Can we talk to Dawson County about them making Skype available so our attorneys could do this rather than traveling?
Well, and I think there's a lot of courts that are already doing that on hearings like, I'll just say, you know, where the attorneys agree that they're going to file a motion, set a hearing for a motion to suppress or something like that. It's not necessary for the defendant to be there other than to talk to the attorney before or after and explain what happened, et cetera. And a lot of courts are trying to go to that Skype. We're trying to stay ahead of that curve by having the wiring available. When I say wiring, it's cabling, whatever, fiber optics it is. I was hoping to see that probably in the next couple of years because that brings in things like safety, you know, for the courthouse personnel. That makes it a lot simpler that you don't have inmates coming in. But would you say 2 years?
I'd say it'd be a lot quicker than that because they just called me last week. The software's done. He called to find out who the administrator is going to be for the court and for our office, and I think it'll be up and running pretty quick in the court.
But, and again, part of that's going to be scheduling, like, what are you going to do this hearing? And if it's going to be just a simple hearing, it doesn't involve an advisement of rights or an entry of plea, something that the court won't do over the computer, they have to coordinate that with the sheriff's office to get them here. Again, at some point you would hope they would make it available that says even if I could take a plea over Skype.
Yeah.
And as long as the attorney can talk to his or her client, that's the biggest problem right now is you can't have that communication when the attorney's sitting upstairs and the client's out in Dawson County. You can't, you know, lean over and whisper in her ear, here's, be aware of this.
Well, I think we've had a couple, at least for Dawson, we've done phone conference, right? Mm-hmm. A couple times.
We look at what the inmate's coming to court for. If it's for a bond reduction hearing,
we'll call the other, or we'll call the court and ask them, can you do this telephonically so we don't have to go get them?
Yep.
And they're getting better at doing that, I think.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of those. They're
trying to save by asking them, can we do this on the over the phone? That would save us from going and get them.
Hey, Gary.
Tony, and I got another question for Gus and Tony. So I guess I sense resistance from you as far as maximizing our use of Dawson County. It seems to me, I get the feel that you guys don't want to use them. Well, why is that?
I think the problem is if for some reason they can't get somebody back to us, that is a full-day trip for that transport officer to go out there and then come back and then go back out there and then come back.
Sure.
If for some reason, how often does that happen? You're just speculating.
Right now we're trying to send out sentence ones out to Dawson.
And we've had upwards of, what, 8 people out there at a time, and we haven't had an issue at this point?
No, we really haven't had an issue, I don't think.
Because they had more than one transport a week for us, too, then. You know, if we could plan that, they come down at least twice. 2 in there is a little better than 1, because that just might be an issue. I don't have any problem using them. I think they're going to fill up. If we guarantee it, I guess that'd be okay. But I just think there might be a problem with that one transport a week. You won't know until you try. You know, that's the only thing.
Gary's on the money, though, on the expense and transporting. What kind of notice do you have from a judge if they need to get somebody back? I mean, do you have a week notice? Do you have...
Usually we're well aware of when they got to come back.
At least a week or two.
That's kind of how we figure out where we're sending somebody.
Because I know that's got to be kind of a headache for you scheduling transports. If they know a week out, I doubt that Dawson ever has one trip coming back and forth between Lincoln in a week. I mean,
I could see Dawson probably working with us more, you know, on that.
Oh, I suppose it. You know, it's just I think what the sheriff is saying. He'll transport. He doesn't feel comfortable doing 2 of them.
He doesn't feel comfortable guaranteeing.
Yeah,
2.
That's the key.
He doesn't feel comfortable.
No.
He may very well do 2 or 3 a week, but he doesn't feel comfortable guaranteeing you 2 a week. He's going to guarantee you 1 trip a week.
What if you? Sorry, John. I'm just still on this thought. What if you guys? If they're going back and forth from Lincoln, I'm guessing that's not maybe daily, but I'm guessing at least 3 times a week. Just hypothetic guess. If they're doing a lot of state stuff. If you have prisoners, and this is just me not knowing how you guys handle things, say they don't have time to come down to Beatrice, but they're going to be in Lincoln. Is there ever a way where you guys can meet? Can you transfer? I guess what I'm asking is, can you transfer from one transport to another?
If we can plan that in advance, sure. We've done that before, I'm sure, at some point in time.
That might be a...
John, did you have something?
Well, it's also possible that our transport costs might be less with going to Washington, because we can obviously at times double up taking somebody down there with your transport van. We can't double up taking 1 to Washington and 1 to Butler or 1 to Richardson County. And I mean, those are the real time-consuming ones when you...
What is the distance to Dawson County? How many miles are we talking?
About 3.5 hours, I think.
Yeah. About 60 miles west of Kearney.
One way.
60 miles west of Kearney, basically, is what it is.
West of Kearney. See, the logistics to me.
Kearney's about 170. Yeah.
Just because of the logistics, I go this way. That's just me.
Yeah. Well, I think we have to realize we got a bargain rate from Washington County for a while, but
we did.
You know, because of the beds filling up.
I think we've discussed this quite a bit. I think we're to the point where I don't see too many people having an issue with 15. It's just a matter of what numbers you want to put where or whatever. But I think we're ready for a motion or something, unless somebody wants to delay this 2 weeks. But I think we need to – Gus's proposal had an A, B, C, and D. The drug court would be $50 a day in Saline County, and then anybody else that Seward County at $45 a day is agreed to. So, but I think A there is that Washington County, Kansas, his proposal was for 10 beds guaranteed, and Dawson County was for 5 beds guaranteed. But I think most people realize we need to do this.
I would make a motion exactly what you just said. 10 in Washington, 5 in
Dawson.
Dawson.
A, B, C, and D. Do I have a second?
I will second that, but I'll ask Terry if we can add the C and the D, that the one sentence in drug court will go to Saline County, and the additional beds will go to Butler. Although I don't know that we need D, because there's no agreement there. So we're not approving anything.
Oh, there's no agreement there. The first three, A, B, and C, the drug court too. There, that has, those are, they have agreements.
So. I agree. Okay.
How many do you have in drug court?
Well, we're running drug court. Yeah. I know Roger probably had a better idea than I would.
Rough. I mean,
as far as that's one of those situations where the judge, it's on Monday, something's happened the prior week, and there's going to be a sanction. The sanction is immediate in almost 100% of the cases. So and it's usually like 48 hours. It can go up to 72. And, I mean, it's like they cuff them and out. And they do that in the court so that everybody sees it.
When you say drug court, that means?
The drug court's over in
Wilmington. They go in, right. And there's a specific court for drugs, and then that's like the rehab or the rehabilitation?
It takes into a lot of different programming and stuff, but they meet at, the committee meets at 1 o'clock, and then I believe the actual drug court's at 3. And they have a deputy, at least one deputy there from Saline County at the drug court. And if the judge gives a sanction of jail time, then the deputy cuffs them, another deputy comes and gets them, and they're taken to jail immediately.
How many are up there, did you say?
In the drug court?
Yeah. Or in the jail up there?
Oh, and as far as in the jail, you're not going to have very many. I mean, I've been over there 4 times this year, and we only had one person that got to go
but
take
it's
it.
Short. They go in, they go to, if they're sentenced to jail, they come back, and you guys do whatever with them. Well, that's just like the deciding if they're going to go through that program, the drug court. Is that right or no?
Well, no, this is basically what sets the drug court off from, like, regular probation. There's a sanction immediately for either a bad test or you didn't take the test or, you know, you violated your agreement with the court. So there has to be an immediate sanction. That's what puts it off. So that's why all of a sudden you have somebody there. In the past, they could call Sheriff Gus and say, one of your people goofed up, come get him. Gus would have to take a trip over there, pick him up, bring him back to jail. As opposed to all that, he just says Sheriff Allen just keeps them for $50.
Is that trip back and forth, and it's $50? So, fits a little
but
bit.
As far as how many times that happened, for our people, I'll say once a month, maybe twice a month.
I didn't know if that would take care of the overflow anyway. Just if that would be 4 people, 5 people, but
very few.
Initially, the deputy over there does court. Would contact Trevor and say, they're going to have 2 remanded. Trevor would go over and pick them up. The sling's getting better working with us now and just holding them for it. We'll ask them, can you just hold them for that first 20 or that 24 hours? And they usually will do that.
And then you can go get them the next day or whatever.
Yeah, that's so. Late night, so that's having to go over and pick them up.
Right away. Okay, but C there, John, and I think it says here we have a current agreement on file, so we don't need that one either. What we need is...
It'd be Dossie in Washington if you have to
we
go
need,
that.
In the motion, then, if this is okay with Terry, we need that motion that Washington County, Kansas, 10 beds for $45 per day. These are year agreements. They're renewable for 1 more year. But either one can opt out at the after the end of the first year on a 90-day notice. Mm-hmm. And then B there is $45 per day for 5 beds in Dawson County. And that is also the same type of agreement. So that is your motion.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And, John, that's good for the second?
Yep.
Okay. Motion by Juergens and seconded by Hill. Any more discussion? Gary?
Just say that, you know, I support Gus in making the decisions, Gus and Tony in making the decisions to run the jail over there. It is the elected official who is Gus. It is there's to run and their budget to watch. The only reason we're involved is because we're setting a contract. And I guess I have a hard time supporting this because I think we should maximize Dawson County, and you know for that reason I won't support it. But I do think it's a good idea.
Do you want part of your motion that we're going to authorize the sheriff to sign the agreements? That would
yes. Is
that good, John? Okay, Eric.
I'm the same as Gary. I support you guys to. to do this and try to run as efficiently as possible, as difficult as it is. I'm also putting a rider on this. I'm not saying that we're necessarily going to fund this entire amount. Let's try to peel these dollars out of other places. We're early in the year. It's really tough because there's, I mean, if we had an extra $2 million, there's places for it to go. You guys could find places that, hey, we need to update this. We need to do this. Just saying we're real early in the year. Let's be very mindful of this, knowing that we're going to have to be trying to save wherever we can to help fund this.
Well, I can tell you, if he's willing to take no pay raise this last time, I shouldn't let him do that. I cut it about in half. I can't ask much more of that from my people. I'm telling you, there's nothing else to cut unless it's just there's no jail. I mean, it's thin. It really is now.
And the labor, I think, would be the last place we'd want to necessarily cut. The materials, any expenditure. I mean, there's always places where you can start peeling 5, 10.
Any more discussion? If not, vote. Five in favor, Jurgens, Hill, Dorn, Byers, and Thiemann, and Lytle voting no. Thank you, Gus. Next up on the agenda, we have approve or disapprove contract with Factor Architect for a Sheriff Department entrance. And Dave and Gus.
Yeah, this would be to follow up on the West Sallyport area. Earlier we had Michael Bakler come and come up with a drawing. This would be to, if we do put this out for bid, he would come up with a list of specifications on what would be needed. Earlier we got kind of a ballpark figure. We came up, he actually had someone bid the building itself, and then we came up with estimates on the HVAC, plumbing, and all that stuff. So.
But earlier, we approved an agreement with him earlier, and I can't remember the dollar amount, $8,000 or $10,000, I think it was, where he drew the initial plans.
Right.
But those weren't plans really to what you'd call put out for bidding for a project.
It was not. It was a plan on.
It was the plans of maybe how to approach that over there.
Right.
And now, I believe this contract is for another $2,000.
Right.
And then this would be for, I call design plans, so that you could take these and put this out for bid. Then.
Correct.
Gary?
I'm just going to say that if we move forward with this, we're very specific with what we tell Mike that we want. We want exactly this. We don't want you going into the old house and drawing a plan up for something over there. We want the plans exactly for what we're asking for. Stick to the project and only the project. Don't be throwing extras on it.
Don't be adding extra things.
I can tell you, when we met last time with him, we have cut more than what was last time. I'm going to try to get by a little differently to make it a little cheaper. And especially on the professional visitation area, we're going to just leave that where it is right now. Put a door in and call it good instead of moving it. So we're trying to find ways to shave it best we can.
No, I'm not talking about you shaving what you want. I'm talking about Fakler needs to stick to doing just what we have. We tell him specifically what we want drawn up, and then he goes and does just that, nothing extra.
He doesn't have a price on here either.
Has a $120 an hour, not to exceed 16 hours.
Does he not know what it's going to take him to do it?
I would think he does on the inside of the building. I know the grading and the
He's already concrete. Done all this. He's already done all the work. He's already done everything. I'm going to vote no on this until he gives us a not-to-exceed price, which I anticipate is not going to be more than a couple hours with some fluff on it.
He has not to exceed 16 hours.
Oh, he has a not to exceed 16 hours.
That's the $2,000, what I talked about. Mm-hmm. $120 an hour, 16 hours, $2,000.
Plus reimbursable expenses.
Plus, yeah, there's reimbursements in there, like he's going to charge us for the paper he copies on. It's listed in there. Okay.
I'm sorry, I missed it.
It's listed in there.
Not to exceed 16 hours. Okay, he's got it in there. I'd say we see what he comes in at on this bill, though, and that'll determine who we use in the future. He's got everything done. We've already got drawings on it. This is a necessary thing, so I'm not I'm not arguing that we need to do something here, but he's got everything prepared already.
Eric, he has everything but this stamp.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that have that stamp. Okay. And we're local. We're working right here. I hope that everything is looking good on this. And it's
nobody made a motion to approve this yet, have they? Anybody make a motion to approve this or not approve it?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Lytle. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Hill. Sorry, now go ahead.
Okay. But no, everything's done. The work's all done. If I come and ask Terry to do something, he's going to say it's going to be about this much money. And he has to do it out of the sky. I don't even know where he comes up with some of the stuff he comes up with. This is something he's had a lot of time. He's presented drawings to us already. I hope that not 16 hours. We see maybe 2 hours, 3 hours.
Any more discussion?
16 hours.
Any more discussion? Ready to vote? Vote. 6-0 in favor. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
I think we have everything done on the agenda. The only other thing is we do have a closed session, and this is for negotiations. It is for some things we have there going on and stuff. And I entertain a motion at 11 o'clock on the clock to go into closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Hill, second by Byers. Vote. 6-0 in favor.
Is this
not negotiated?
No, I suppose.
Talk here. We're ready on the clock here. Are we on? 11:15 on the clock. Entertain a motion to come out of closed session.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Thiemann. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Meeting adjourned. Now go ahead.